Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift, and we are live from Falcons training camp in Flowery Branch. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan's back at the studio. Gordon is producing the show out here, and we have fans coming through the gate here at Falcons training camp. A lot of kids missing the first day of school today.
I love it.
What I'm seeing.
I personally absolutely love it.
Yes, absolutely amazing. If you are coming out here, bring your umbrella, bring your raincoat. It's a little dicey, but this is going to be perfect to see a practice happen today.
Yeah, you don't do anything on the first day of school anyways, right?
That's exactly what I was about to say. You don't do anything. It's like syllabus day. It's all good.
I would bring, if you didn't bring a lawn chair, I would bring a like a seat cushion, because if not, you're going to have a wet butt on the grass. Most people do bring chairs. Also, I might bring little nails to put in between the chairs, like the holes in the chair, so your seat doesn't slide. Yeah.
Yeah. Little nails.
That's actually a pretty good idea. I mean, it looks like everyone else prepared a lot better than we did for coming out here.
I'm mad at myself because
when the stakes... Bo said, you know, little nails, sticks. Yeah, that's it.
I'm actually mad at myself because I've got so much Falcons gear that I could have brought with me today with a hood and rain pullovers and some of it's rain repellent. I'll use that word. and since I choke. Well,
water resistant.
Yeah.
And as Gordon pointed out, instead you're dressed like an Amazon employee.
Yeah, I look like I do. Because I'm walking out the door. Dude, here's the deal. Here's how rushed or just ridiculously dumb I can be at times. I'm walking out the door and I feel like a little mist and I go, oh yeah, it could rain today. And I look and I have this is a golf pullover, and it's a short sleeve golf rain pullover. And I had worn it Thursday. And I had left it in the garage hanging on the golf club so it would dry, so it didn't mildew. And because some people just put it back in their bag, like dum-dums, Carter. And so I did like this with my golf partner. He did it. And so I just grab it, and I'm like, oh, out the door I go. And I'm like, dude, you could have went upstairs and grabbed, like, three of your Falcons pullovers and been perfectly good with today. But no. No,
but you know why everyone walking through the gates right now? You know why they're prepared, Bo?
Because
I told them.
Oh, you?
I told them this morning.
Did you? Oh, taking credit. Is that
right.
What we're doing all day?
Hey, you've learned. I gave her a pound because she's learned. She's learned. That's what you do. Look, I work with Mike Bell. He took credit for it. Mike still takes credit for the signing of Alex Mack. I know he's on his way up here. I know, it's just because they were listening to me. I said do that. And I'm like, I don't think it took you to tell him to sign Alex Mack, but go ahead, Mike.
Well, we're going to get to Zach Robinson's comments in a moment, but Bryson was asking during the wake-up call a few great questions, and thank you so much for those questions, Bryson. We had to think about them, ponder it a minute. First of all, he wanted to know individually, Mike and Bo, what do you think the Falcons' record will be this season? Is it too early to tell?
Man.
Or
there's just so many variables with this. And I think that, you know, as we build up the season, we always try to do this. I hope that they are, I don't know, I hope it's 10-7. Mm-hmm. I think that my expectations last year were 10-7, and it was off to a good start, and then you fall flat. So I think whatever it takes to get in the playoffs, I'm still sitting right there at 9-8 in my brain, and we'll see where that takes us. I think it's very important if you're going to go 10-7 to win the first game and get in the playoffs to win the first game. So we'll see how that all pans out. But as it is right now, I do think they're going to be over 500. It's just how far over 500 can you get, and what challenges will you see, and how good can this defense be this year under Jeff Ulbrich, and can Michael Penix take a step? Because it really is an unknown that we think is a known, but it's not. So
it's hard for me to say anything different than all that what Mike just said, but I do think 10-7. And I think the second one was about Penix Cousins, right? No, I don't think Cousins plays unless Penix gets hurt. I don't. At some point, you can't. Here's the thing for me. I watched Dan Quinn and Thomas seemingly coach and make moves to save their job for a couple years, and it put this franchise in a very, very bad spot. And that's what happens when you don't – when you make moves as a head coach and a GM for the short-term future, you end up putting yourself in trouble. And so, to me, the best thing for – if I was Arthur Blank and I saw them pull Penix just because they – you know, he was playing rough and not allow him to develop, I'd be very upset. I'd be very upset because now you're hurting – the long-term future of not only this team, but the player as well. And, oh, by the way,
Ding.
This team's next at least 2 years is tied to that player.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I would be curious. I honestly don't have any insight into that. You know, is there an injury hiccup that, you know, kind of leads you in that direction? I would be hard-pressed to think that they would pull a – you know, Bryce Young, for lack of a better way to put it, where he struggled last year and you benched him for, what, 2 or 3 weeks, and he comes back in, ends up doing really well. But I always think there is some conversation around you don't want to damage anybody in the long run. So I don't know. I don't foresee that happening. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to speak that into existence by even talking about it because it really makes me kind of sick as well. So I don't foresee that being an issue, and there's too much upside to the offense right now to think that that's going to be a problem.
And you can blame it on injury publicly if you wanted, but the players are always going to know. If Michael Penix is feeling good enough to go out there and play, but maybe not performing, you can say, well, he's banged up. We're going to sit him, let him recoup. Like, in his head, he's going to know that, well, if I was playing a little bit better, that wouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
So you can fool the fans in the national perspective a little bit, but you're not fooling the guy that's doing it, and that hurts him mentally.
Yeah.
That's why I get frustrated. You go, you know, not to make this about baseball, but when people are like, well, just bring them up, and if they suck, send them back down. Do you know what you're doing mentally to that player? Like, you're destroying confidence.
You're hitting the reset button on everything he's built up to at that point.
Yeah, that's not how you handle franchises, right, Mike? I mean,
yeah, no,
you
I'm
played.
With you on that. It's a fine line, and I'm with you. I don't want to think about the prospects of the GM or the head coach in any situation that would be, you know, making decisions based off of short-term success for them as opposed to long-term success for the player in the franchise. So I don't even want to speak that into existence because I hope it doesn't come to that. But it has before. So, you know, we'll see. We'll you know, kind of ride the wave as it comes. But, man, that'd be a long year.
And you affect yourself getting a job down the road as a GM when people see that you did that stuff. I mean, I'm not saying that Thomas Dimitroff would never get another job because I'm personally like Thomas. I got along with him. I thought he was very good for the franchise. But I do think, you know, you can say, well, I'm not looking for a GM job right now, all you want. But I do think some guys roll right into the next job. And I think when people see – moves that were done to save your skin and not for the best of the franchise, I think it hurts your prospects.
Yeah.
Well, and one other question that Bryson was asking was, is this season only a success that they go to playoffs, or is there another definition of success for this season?
Well, and I thought that he was asking, and I'm not sure. I apologize. I thought he was asking if it's just making the playoffs good enough. And so I think the only way this season is a success – and you don't make the playoffs is a 9-8, so over 500, and there's a major injury to this team that kept you from doing better, right? And maybe making the playoffs.
Yeah, that's
but,
fair.
But to me, making the playoffs is good enough to bring back Terry and Raheem. And you can get mad or whatever all you want, but the thing about it is when you fire a GM. You hit a reset button on and a coach. You hit a reset button on the entire building at times, and I don't think people understand when they say fire everybody. That's kind of what happens. I watched people that had nothing to do with the on field leave this franchise just because there was a new person here.
Yeah, and I don't think most people understand how big continuity is. I know Zach Robinson talked about it over the weekend about having all your starters back and, you know, four of the five or four and a half of the five returning and your wide receivers and everybody else on offense back and he's back. So to have the continuity, I don't think most people realize that. We've talked to Jesse Bates and Caden Ellis last week personally about how hard it's been to have four straight defensive coordinators that have put you in different systems. We also sat right here at this table and talked to Terry Fontenot about how soon can you get the personnel that a Jeff Ulbrich needs to run his defense. And he was talking about that's the first conversation you have. What do you need to be successful? So, yeah, I'm with you. Just I know that the fire the coach thing, it's an easy kind of Band-Aid for everybody, but guys, there's no just miracle turnaround. I mean, we see teams that have first-year coaches that go to the playoffs, sure, but yeah. It's not something that just happens overnight, and you can definitely hurt things in the long term if you make those decisions based on that.
Is it fair to say that much like smoking cigarettes at a young age stunts your growth and development, that firing a coaches over and over again will stunt the growth of a young player?
There's no doubt about it. I mean, that's quite the metaphor for that. But, yeah, I would say that that's well, definitely accurate. I mean, just fitting into the right scheme just can help you so much in the long run. So, yeah, I mean, I don't even want to go down the road. I'm talking about it, and we've done a whole segment about it, but I was sitting there in the break going, I don't want to answer these questions because I don't want to speak them into existence.
Well, yeah. I like to answer questions like that because I think that's something that I don't think Bryson was it.
Bryson
is the only guy in his car.
No, there's no doubt
that's thinking that, or a fan base thinking that. And I think they're important questions to answer right now because I think that should set expectations. And also, I did just watch that King of the Hill where Bobby got caught smoking, and Hank made him smoke a carton, and then he became addicted. Dang, that rolls me into my life of squid tees.
All right, hold on 1 second, because I did promise some Zach Robinson cuts, some audio. We're going to play those on the other side along with the life of squid.
I found a new TV. Well, my wife found a new TV show that I then secretly watched a few, and it's very raunchy, and I think I'm hooked to the show. Also, there's an old favorite returning today on the Hulu. Next on the Morning Show, Sports Radio 929 The Game. And
the Odyssey app.